Yeah, I think Pope Francis himself is a man who comes from what he calls himself the existential margins, a man from Buenos Aires, from Argentina, and obviously he's quite close to the poor. He's close to those on the margins, and that's what he's made a staple of his pontificate, is to reach out to those people that are living on the margins. And that's very much what he's been saying quite clearly in his statements, and also in his actions in the trips he's already conducted. He's gone out to those margins, and the Philippines is just one of those places that he's visited.
And the numbers that turned out, I mean, people turned out in record numbers. I think there was 6 million at one of his masses.
That's right. His mass that he held in Manila, in the capital in the Philippines, had more than 6 million people at it. It's the largest gathering of Catholics ever. In fact, the largest gathering of Christians worldwide ever. It broke John Paul's record of 5 million, I think, back in 1995 in Manila as well, the same venue. So I think it not just shows what a stronghold of Catholicism for the Philippines is, but also shows that kind of draw that Pope Francis has. He's not just a charismatic figure to Catholics. He also has a pull from other religions, from atheists. People have huge respect for him, no matter what their creed or beliefs are.
And I suppose it shows that we in the West tend to think of a church in decline. But then, you know, when you see images like his trips to South America, his trips to the Philippines, it's astonishingly vibrant.
Very much so. I think that's one of the great things Pope Francis brings to the church. What he's done and what he's setting out to do in the reform of the church, the reform of the curia, is to make it all a lot less Vatican-centric. And the European, a non-European pope, a pope from the margins, a pope from South America, is exactly the kind of person that we need to do that. He brings a great deal of experience, and in some sense, it's great to see an outsider take over in many respects and bring that new perspective to the church. So I mean, only positive things can come of it, I think.
And yet he was still faced with the very difficult questions, you know, because if you're talking with people on the margins, they are wondering, you know, why is God letting this happen to us? And that was brought forward by the girls that questioned him, and that moved him to tears.
That's right. At one of the ceremonies, Pope Francis met with a lot of the street children in the Philippines, children that he would be used to visiting and speaking with, like his work in Buenos Aires. And one of the girls actually spoke to Pope Francis, questioned him and said, you know, how is it okay, or how does God allow such a thing as child prostitution or children to become caught up in drugs and all these repercussions as a result of it? And, you know, she broke down in tears when she spoke to him about the issue, obviously having been affected by it herself in some personal way. And Pope Francis was, you know, in his typical caring fashion, you know, he took her in his arms and hugged her, and, you know, he spoke afterwards and said, you know, this little girl has actually asked me the one question I cannot answer, and I don't think any of us can answer that question. But Pope Francis, what he did was he showed empathy to the girl. He hugged her, he reached out to her, and I think that meant a lot to her. He also as well then spoke to the government about the wide-ranging social inequality that are going on in a country like the Philippines at the moment, and he spoke to them and he encouraged them and urged them to in fact try and, you know, narrow that gap between the rich and the poor in society. You know, I know the Philippine government at the moment, one of its staples, it's trying to to leave its legacy on, is really a government of non-corruption, a government of the straight and narrow. And Pope Francis really emphasised that they need to really deliver on that now. So hopefully they will have the political will to do so.
Well, there's certainly momentum behind it now, isn't it? I mean, if those 6 million people who could come together for a mass in Manila, I mean, maybe they could come together for other types of protests or other type of demands.
Absolutely. I mean, it can only be a good thing. You know, Pope Francis is, you know, he's breathed fresh life into the church in Europe, and I think he's encouraging those now on the margins, in places like the Far East, South America, and of course Africa as well, to stand up for their beliefs, stand up for their rights. So he certainly has given a great deal of confidence to a lot of people.
And then, of course, there's the issue of climate change, and he's saying that that's really going to be a big theme for him now. And the Philippines are one of the countries that has been very badly affected by very erratic climate. I mean, they had a typhoon in the last couple of years that killed over 6,000 people.
That's right, Super Typhoon Haiyan. And Pope Francis actually, when he visited the people in Tacloban, which is one of the areas that was most devastated by the typhoon. And speaking with him, he kind of, as he often does, he threw his script aside and he said, "I want to tell you something that's very close to my heart. When I saw the images of those affected, those who were killed and displaced by the typhoon," he said that he felt very close to the people, and he said he made the conscious decision then to say, "I will go and I will visit the people." And obviously such is the typical Pope's calendar. He's a busy man. It took him a while to get there, but he said, "Look, I'm here now, I'm here with you." Of course, he's made climate change a staple of his pontificate also. We know he's going to write a lengthy encyclical, a letter on his thoughts on that, and that's expected out probably sometime in the summer. So I suppose we'll see a little bit more about what Pope Francis has to say about the issue there, from a Catholic perspective, of course. But Pope Francis, he of course will have nothing but criticism, I'm sure, for the way that certain governments have been going about tackling climate change. He'll have criticism for those who are treating it softly, and certainly will come out and condemn them, I'm sure. He certainly isn't a man who holds back, and he won't be afraid to hold people to account on this issue.
And will that have an impact? I mean, you know, are people looking at the type of interest he's galvanizing, looking at the issues that he's raising and saying, actually, you know, we really have to do something about this? Or are people just saying, you know, that's just his thing, but we'll just go about our business as usual?
No, I think, as I said earlier, one of the things about Pope Francis is he has this great respect from all angles, no matter what religion you are, what nationality you are. People have a great respect for the Pope, and that can be seen, you know, after a year in his pontificate, he was voted Time Person of the Year. You know, for a Catholic leader in this day and age in a Western society to be voted or certainly held in that respect is something quite impressive. And to do it in just such a short period of time, I think it proves that Pope Francis is well respected, and it proves that no matter what he has to say, people are going to stop and listen. And that's quite evident in all Western secular media as well. They seem to like him. They seem to want to hear what he has to say. So I think what he says on climate change will have to make a great deal of difference.
Yeah. I mean, certainly all of his trips have been covered in a way that really just haven't been covered before.
Absolutely, he's really one in a million. I think, you know, since his election, he really has, you know, he's taken control in some sense, and he's put his own slant on the Vatican's outreach to the media, and I think that's been reciprocated quite well. You know, they respect him for that. He's a great man for going off script. He's a great man for giving interviews. He's willing to speak to reporters in a very ad lib fashion. He's quite ad hoc in what he says. Now, it can be dangerous in some respects as well, because it can be taken out of context. He can be misrepresented. But I think for the most part, the love affair with Pope Francis certainly will continue.